Amen. Great, great thoughts. That's why we're here this morning. It's so good to gather and to see you all for this special service to remember what Christ did for us on the cross. We might think of this special service sort of similar to like a birthday party or an anniversary dinner, because it's remembering someone that is important and significant to you and celebrating their life and why it's meaningful to you. So at our house, we have a cupboard full of mugs, and by full, I mean it's overflowing, stacked up mugs for coffee in the morning and tea in the evening. And so we have a mug from a ranch camp we went to a vacation at last summer in Colorado, and Calvary University, where Judith and I both got our undergraduate degrees, and the American Banjo Museum. That's quite a place. And last night, Judith was using one from the Missouri Star Quilt Company. Well, we use these mugs and have a cupboard full of them because they mean something to us. They represent something that was significant to us, and it reminds us, using them reminds us of that experience and that significance. And Jesus, the night before he died on the cross, took an ordinary cup like they would have drank from all the time, and he invested it with new and extraordinary meaning. So in a few minutes this morning in this service, we're going to receive a cup of juice that it's just a tiny plastic cup worth a few cents at best and some juice in it, but it represents something very significant to us and meaningful to us, and it reminds us of that meaning. And so let's read from God's word about this cup that we're going to receive in a few minutes. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians 11 is one of the divinely inspired accounts of what Jesus did on the night before his crucifixion, when he took this cup and invested it with meaning and memory. So 1 Corinthians 11, and we'll start reading at verse 23. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 11, 23, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" So Jesus took this simple, everyday thing, a cup, a drinking cup, and he used it to remind us of some great, life-changing, and eternal truths. Jesus gathered up the entire gospel story and the entire story of his sacrifice for us, and he poured it into that simple cup, and that's what we remember and celebrate this morning. The cup that you and I will receive this morning is a powerful reminder of powerful truths, basic truths, truths that Jesus knew we needed to be reminded of over and over regularly. That's why he told us to do this, to remember him. So what we're doing this morning is not just some religious ceremony. It's a reminder. It's represents basic Bible truths that have eternal significance for us. So the imagery of a cup is actually a common word picture in the Bible, and I'd like for us this morning just to take a quick look at just four places in the Bible where God uses this imagery of a cup to teach truth and represent truth. So first we go to Psalm 16, the book of Psalms, about the middle of your Bible, and the 16th one. The cup we're going to hold today is a symbol of what God gives us or wants to give us. It's a symbol of, I've used the word serenity. The word serenity means peace or wholeness, fullness, and that's what God wants to give us in life, and we remember that when we take the communion cup this morning. So Psalm 16 and verse 5, if you've ever thought that God was just kind of mean to you and wanted to keep you from good things, think again. Psalm 16 verse 5 says, "The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup." There's the imagery. "The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You support my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me." Wow. So David, who wrote this psalm, he looks back over his life and he says, "You know, God, I can see that the life that you gave me, that you assigned to me, the cup that you gave me is pleasant and beautiful. It's a good thing." That doesn't necessarily mean it's easy. You remember that David, who wrote this psalm, had to fight intimidating giants and crazy kings. And his own sin divided his family and threatened his work. But through it all, he realized that God had been good to him and gave him pleasant things and a delightful inheritance. I confess that when I was younger, I wasn't sure I really believed and accepted these verses. I wasn't really sure that I was convinced that the cup of life God had assigned to me was pleasant and delightful. I spent way too much time wishing I had somebody else's cup of life, wishing that God had given me someone else's portion in life. But as I grew in Christ, I came to realize that, you know, those people that I wished I could be like, I had no idea what struggles and battles and problems they faced and that they had to go through to become the person they were. And I came to realize that the life that God had assigned to me really had truly resulted in pleasant places and a delightful inheritance. And you will too. As you walk with God, as you grow and mature in Christ, you will come to see that His will for you is good and right and perfect. That the life He has assigned to you, the way He has ordered your life, those things beyond your control, the way He has ordered your life, you can say the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. And He's given me a delightful inheritance. God means you good. So I've chosen that word serenity, wholeness, fullness, to represent the goodness that God wants to give us. You remember the most well-known psalm, Psalm 23. Just listen to these familiar words and soak in the goodness that God wants to give you. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want." It's like, what could I possibly want if God is my shepherd? "He makes me lie down in green pastures." Not just enough to get by, but thriving green pastures. "And He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You're with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me. Now, this marvelous feast that God has prepared for you. But wait a minute. In the presence of my enemies, You anoint my head with oil. My cup, there it is, that imagery again, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Wow. Green pastures, still waters, a cup that overflows. God means you good. And coming to the New Testament, we learn from the well-known verse in Romans 8:28 that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. God means you good. He's working all things out for good. And Romans 5:1 tells us that having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Serenity, wholeness, fullness through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. So when we hold this communion cup this morning, it reminds us of the lengths that Jesus went to bless our lives and to give us good things and to put good into our life. He gave His own life for our benefit. We remember that when we hold this cup. I've read to you before, I want to read to you again this morning, a note that was written by a Dallas attorney by the name of John Acuff. He wrote this note when a friend of his was in a terrible accident and was facing serious pain for a long recovery. Then 5 years later, John Acuff himself and his wife suffered the death of a teenage son. And his friend from 5 years before wrote the same words he'd sent to her. She sent the same words back to him. And he found tremendous comfort in those words. Here's what he wrote. When you get it all said, He loves you. Bet your life on it. Stake your future on it. Put everything you hold dear in His hands and relax and know that He means you good. Know that He means you good. So holding this cup reminds us of the lengths that Jesus went to bless our lives and to do us good. He gave His own life so that we could experience His peace and joy and love and goodness in life. So if God means us good, why doesn't it seem like it sometimes? Well, look with me at Matthew 23. Matthew chapter 23, in a second place where the Bible uses this imagery of a cup to illustrate truth for us. God wants to give us His serenity, but something keeps going wrong. One way or another, the problem traces back to what the Bible calls sin. Sin. It might be our own wrong choices. It might be the crime of others against us, or it might be just the general sea of sin that we swim in our culture. But one way or another, what disrupts our serenity, the good things that God wants to give us, is sin. So what do humans try and do with the sin problem? Matthew 23, verse 25. Matthew 23:25. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and of the dish so that the outside of it may become clean also. Wow, humans are so good at this. In fact, this may be the premier human skill, the ability to look good on the outside while being a mess on the inside. And that's how we try and deal with sin. Patch it up. Make it look good. Just try and get by. Jesus says, no, you need to clean the inside of the cup first, your cup of life. Then the outside will be clean. We try to fake the serenity that God wants to give us. So the cup that we're going to receive this morning reminds us of our sin, of the problem of sin that occasioned Jesus going to the cross. I mean, that's why he went to the cross, is because we have a sin problem. God wants to give us peace and joy, but something keeps drilling holes in the bottom of our cup. Something keeps polluting the goodness that God wants to give us. So whether our own sin or someone else's sin that affects us, or the general sea of sin in our culture, the accumulated effects of sin in our world, one way or another, it's sin that steals our serenity. So when we hold this cup this morning, it reminds us of the lengths that Jesus went to deal with our sin problem. He gave his own lifeblood. The juice represents his blood, his own lifeblood. He gave to cover our sins and pay the just penalty for our sin. And he offers us forgiveness and cleansing and reconciling us to God as a gift of faith. Faith is trusting in Jesus Christ and his work that he did on the cross. So the cup we're receiving this morning reminds us of that and represents the work of Christ to take care of the sin problem, which leads us to the next truth that a cup represents. We've seen that it represents the serenity that God wants to give us, and it represents the sin that mars and disrupts the whole process. But it's also a symbol of what Jesus does for us. Salvation. Salvation. So when we hold this cup this morning, it reminds us of the lengths that Jesus went to reconcile us to God and to save us from an eternity separated from God in the agony of hell. He gave us his own blood, gave his own blood to cover our sin and pay the just penalty for it, and then he offers us salvation just by faith, just by believing, just by trusting in him. It's amazing. And this cup we hold this morning represents all that and reminds us of all of that. And Psalm 116 says it so beautifully. So back to Psalms again, and this time 116. Just a beautiful use of this imagery of a cup. The cup representing the life that God wants to give us, but also representing the sin that keeps drilling holes in the cup, and it represents then the salvation that God wants to give us through faith in Christ. So Psalm 116 says this, verses 12 and 13, 116, verses 12 and 13. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I shall lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. The cup of salvation received by calling upon the name of the Lord. Our sin has separated us from God, but God wants to pour you and me a big mug full of salvation. It says, I shall lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. In the New Testament, the Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's how salvation is affected, how the connection is made. It's personal. It's individual. It's something that you need to do. personally accept by faith the work that Christ did on the cross to take care of your sin problem. Call on the name of the Lord and you will be saved. John Stott has so well written, "The essence of sin is man substituting himself for God, while the essence of salvation is God substituting himself for man. Man asserts himself against God and puts himself where only God deserves to be. God sacrifices himself for man and puts himself where only man deserves to be." That is salvation. Jesus paid for it on the cross, offers it to you and me as a gift. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve. We earned it. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Wages is something you earn and deserve. A gift is something you just receive. You get it, not because you deserved it or earned it. It's a gift. We deserve death and separation from God because of our sin, but Jesus took that for us, died in our place so that he can offer us the gift of salvation just by believing, by trusting. So God wants to give us serenity. Sin disrupts that. Salvation restores it. How then do we respond to the free gift of salvation? Well, come with me in your Bible to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. And this is the last place we're going to look at this morning where the Bible uses this imagery of a cup. Mark chapter 9. God wants to give us serenity. Sin disrupts that serenity. Salvation restores it. Then how do we respond? Mark chapter 9, verse 41. 41 says this. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth. Anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name, because you belong to Christ, will certainly not lose his reward." If anyone gives you a cup of water in my name, because you belong to Christ. So here the cup represents a basic need, something that someone needs, something that will bless their life. And Jesus says there's a reward for helping someone in the name of Christ, for helping meet a need, for blessing their life. There's a reward for that. So the cup we hold this morning is a symbol of what we do out of thanks and love, and that is service. Serving God, serving others, not because we're trying to gain some points or pay some price, but because we love Jesus and are so thankful for all that he's done for us. And so we give the gift of service. God gives us serenity. Sin disrupts it. Salvation restores it. We respond with service of love and thanks. And all of that is represented by this small little cup we'll receive this morning. It's way more than just a plastic vessel with some juice in it. It represents incredible truth and reminds us of that and reminds us of the experience of our own salvation and responding to Christ in faith and reminds us to serve the Lord out of love and thanks. So the night before Jesus died for our sins, he took an ordinary piece of bread and an ordinary drinking cup and invested them with new and powerful meaning. And we take pains to remember things that are meaningful to us. So we take pictures so we'll remember the experience, or we post on social media so others can share the experience with us, or we have birthday parties and anniversary dinners. We buy t-shirts and mugs to remind us of things that are significant to us and that represent something meaningful to us. And so this morning, the small plastic cup of juice we'll be given represents the goodness God wants to give us, the sin that keeps us from it, the salvation that Jesus offers by faith in Him, and the love and thanks that we have for Christ. So as you hold this cup this morning, know that Jesus loves you. Hold this cup and remember that Jesus died for you. And hold this cup and find the strength to resist the world and live for God. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, thank you for the simplicity of salvation, that we can simply believe and be saved because you did all the work. Thank you for this reminder this morning of what you did for us, and that we have a problem that needs to be dealt with and can only be dealt with by your blood. Thank you. And in this quiet moment of prayer, would you, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you've put your faith in Him, would you just take a quiet moment to thank Him for that? And if you've not trusted Christ as your Savior, would you do that right now in this quiet moment? Say, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner and I need you. Come into my life and save me. It really is that easy. And it really is that hard because it confronts our human pride. So take this moment to thank Jesus for what He did for you and to respond by faith. Lord, thank you for all you did for us. Thank you for this remembrance of it. I pray as we hold this cup that your Spirit will impress upon us what it means, what it represents. Thank you, God. And we ask this in Jesus, our Lord and Savior's name. Amen.